Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. When I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are daft for Donald, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, just thinking about maybe currently planning or rearranging your first trip to Walt Disney World, and you didn't even know that you could walk from the UK to France. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories and their magical times. And this week, we find out where Leanne stayed for the night, and I think it's somewhere that nobody wants to go to.
So that was my little trip to celebration, was to the hospital and an overnight stay.
More from Leanne's adventures very soon. Also, getting your Walt Disney World questions answered, getting the latest news from the parks, and some more of your Disney Plus recommendations. So make sure you keep in touch with us, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network on the week that some DVC and Disney World Resort hotels are about to open up. Obviously, things are still very much up in the air for us here in the UK. And if you are currently rearranging or you've cancelled, I know what it's like. You've saved for years for these big holidays of a lifetime. And it's all up in the air. But hopefully you are well and your plans are kind of coming together and finances kind of starting to make sense. If you've got any questions about rearranging, maybe you're thinking of staying somewhere else, or maybe you are looking at something to kind of change your trip around a little bit, maybe add something to it. If you've got any questions, let me know. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, we are at PodMagical, which is what Jasmine has done, who is considering, because obviously the plans that she had for this year are now not happening. So we're going to rearrange to next year. What do you think about the Coronado Springs Resort? Now, Coronado Springs is a moderate resort. It is a massive resort. I've only stayed there once, and that was for one night. And very fortunately, thank you, Mickey Mouse, we upgraded our hotel room when we actually checked in. It was like an amazing suite that we got. It was brilliant. The resort itself, I think, is beautiful. As I say, it's a big resort. We had breakfast by the lake there. The food court's really nice. There's a lot of great places to eat, actually, at Coronado Springs. You get a lot of conferences there, so it can get very, very busy. It does mean if it's busy for conferences that sometimes the actual resort buses are a little bit quiet. The only down thing I would actually say about Coronado Springs is the size of it and the fact that you're limited just to buses. A lot of resorts now, obviously with the Skyliner, or some resorts that you can walk to some of the parks, or maybe get a little boat over to cross the Disney Springs. Coronado Springs, you are literally limited to buses unless you're driving or you want to get minivans or Ubers. And those buses do have quite a few stops around the resort. It's kind of like the same size as Caribbean Beach, really, but without the Skyliner. One of the big advantages, and if you could check in here, if you fancy staying here, if you want to stay in what feels like a kind of posh hotel, if you like, the new Grandestino Hotel that opened last year is beautiful. It's very much like a Vegas hotel. It's got a nice restaurant on the top, a nice roof terrace and some nice bars in there. So Coronado Springs, if the money's right and it all budgets up, then yeah, I'd say it's very nice if you don't mind that transportation issue. Any questions you've got, if it comes to rearranging, or maybe you're looking to do something different with your Walt Disney World resorts, or you're looking for some tips or advice, do get in touch. I'll do my best to answer them every week on the podcast. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. And every week on the podcast, we've got a new guest because everybody's got a story to tell. Everybody's got a favourite restaurant, a favourite attraction. What is yours? Get in touch if you want to be on the podcast, like this week's guest, Leanne. And before we find out how you ended up in hospital, Leanne, tell me what it is that you love about Walt Disney World.
I'll give you the obvious answer that everyone probably gives, but it's so true. It's just that it's a bubble. Everyone's on the same wavelength. Everyone sort of is loving it. They're all buying into the same idea, and you can just completely escape everything and just be a child again. It's brilliant.
So when was the first time you went?
I went when I was about 10 in around about 1988 with my parents and my brother.
Probably a lot of things then that are not there anymore.
Yes, I can imagine. I mean, my memory's a bit hazy, so a lot of it is the old video that my dad was taking all the way around the park, so that sort of refreshes a few. But I was very sad that Mickey's house wasn't there anymore when we went back.
Oh, no, yes, all the new Fantasyland now,
that's
isn't it?
Right.
So where does Mickey Mouse live?
Well, exactly,
where does he live?
Yes.
Maybe he's got like a penthouse suite in Grand Floridian.
Indeed,
or something like that.
Yes, that'd be
maybe.
Nice thought, wouldn't it?
And how many times have you been since?
Only actually the once.
Ah, okay.
We went last year back. We tend to, just because of location and cost, and because I used to work there, we've done a lot of Disneyland Paris.
Oh, so you used to work at Disneyland Paris?
I did. I was a cast member there for a short time before going to university. So I was the one in the marching band uniform on the main gate selling you tickets and giving you a hand stamp to let you in and out and all that kind of stuff.
Ah, right. And you still go back to France quite often just to get that Disney fix?
Yes, we did.
For the top
I'm
up.
The Disney fan, obviously, right, because of working there and everything. And my husband was less convinced. He's always loved Disney, but he'd never been. So we actually went for the first time together 5 years ago now, because they started to do the running events in Paris. And my husband is a very, very keen runner. So I thought, right, that's a good way. We'll bribe him. He can, you know, we'll go do the runs. He can come and I can get my Disney fix. So
these are the Run Disney events, then,
are
they?
Yes.
So have you done a Run Disney event in Florida then, over in Walt Disney World?
We have now. This is when we went back last year. So we went in January 2019 and we did the marathon weekend and actually both of us did the Dopey Challenge.
What's the Dopey Challenge?
Basically, there's a weekend of running. So there are 4 days of running in events, the Thursday to the Sunday, so four in a row. And they've got a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a full marathon, one after each other. So you can do any of the races that you want to. You can just turn up and run a 5K or something. And the Dopey Challenge is basically doing all four.
I can see why it's called the Dopey Challenge.
Absolutely.
And you did all four.
Yeah.
You both did all four of them.
Yeah.
So a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and on the last day you did the entire full marathon.
Yes, that's the theory
I'd
be lucky
to do the 5K. And how was that?
Long.
Yeah.
As you can imagine. I'm not quite such a runner. I'm much more of a jogger, so I'm slow and steady. But we did a heck of a lot of training beforehand, so I don't know how many miles we put in leading up to that. But we had a game plan and we were doing well, but unfortunately it all went a bit pear-shaped. Because over there, after the 10K, I managed to pick up some sort of sickness bug.
Are you sure you just weren't like sick notes? Hang on, I've done a 5 and I've done a 10. The half
yeah,
and
that's
the one.
Enough.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah, I'm not feeling good. So what happened?
After the 10K, we'd sort of been for lunch and lunch just didn't quite taste right. So it wasn't right. But then we sort of chilled a bit, had a nice sort of quiet afternoon. And then by the evening, I was throwing up and not feeling very well at all. But I entered the race as a charity sponsorship to raise money for the local hospital that looked after my dad, basically, when he was ill with cancer. So because I'd had sponsorship, I wasn't sort of ready to give it up.
Don't let people down. Yeah.
So we got up and we did the half the following day, and that was the worst run of my life, I have to say. That was even worse than the full, because I think it was the bug kicking in properly.
So you were still really poorly on that day?
Yeah. So I spent most of the run looking for the next port-a-loo. So my top tip for the Disney holiday is know where the toilets are.
Yeah. Especially when you've got to do a run. And what happened the following day? Did you manage to get up and do the full marathon off the back of that?
Well, I wasn't going to let it beat me, so I thought we've got to give it a go at least. At least it's then me it's not me choosing not to do it or not to try. So it's the stubbornness of me. So I did actually line up, and we started off and we ran around, and my husband stayed with me. He's a much faster runner than me, but he stayed with me for all the races because I wasn't feeling too good. But we got round together and we got past the Toy Soldier Green Army Man, who is amazing. I don't think he was there this year, but on our year, out on the freeways as you're running the roads, he's there shouting at everyone.
Oh, right.
Sort of motivation, but it's great fun. But he's there. Brilliant. Come on, I can go faster than you. You're not running. This is a run, not a walk. Keep going. Drop and give me 20. You know, he's proper full on. So that was really good fun. So I'm glad I saw him. But I was struggling, and it was quite a warm day. So unfortunately, the heat and the bug got the better of me. And I started wobbling. And at mile 25, the medics pulled me off the course.
A mile 25, so you were so near the end.
I know. Thankfully, I don't remember any of that, because I think I was a bit delirious at that point.
You'd really gone.
They sort of pulled me off and sort of sat me down, and apparently I was arguing with them, saying, no, I have to keep going, the balloon ladies are coming.
Get me a mobility scooter.
Yeah, get me to the finish line. They took my temperature, and it was 103, which apparently is not very good.
Yeah, that's high. I've found how high a temperature should be over the last few weeks. I'm quite up to how high temperature should
be. All right.
So, did you still get your medal?
Yes. As long as you start the race, you get your medal, but you don't get your dopey medal. You get the marathon medal, but not the challenge, because I didn't finish. That's a medal. So it was a bit.
Did your husband finish?
No, I was there apparently doing my best, sort of, you know, damsel in distress, telling him go without me, run. But he stayed with me because they took me. Sort of in a golf buggy backstage, and I had a little paddling pool full of ice to get my temperature down.
Oh, sounds like fun.
So yeah, I was like, oh, and I didn't have a clue what was going on. And then apparently they couldn't stabilise my temperature, so then that was a little hospital trip. So a little ambulance to Celebration.
Yeah.
So that was my little trip to Celebration, was to the hospital, and an overnight stay.
Oh, how exciting!
It was different. Not many people did that on the Disney itinerary, I don't think. So
nobody's ever mentioned it before. About when we talk about places to stay, nobody's ever mentioned the hospital in Celebration.
Indeed, yeah.
And what was that experience like, being in an American hospital?
Different. Up until that point, I'd never been in hospital full stop myself, so it was a whole new experience anyway. I've never sort of dealt with anybody that's so sort of, they were very forceful but very polite. Everybody was, you know, they'd come in because I had a room to myself. Everyone had their own room, so that was very nice.
Yeah.
And they'd come in and everyone would be so polite, knocking the door and, you know, introducing themselves. And there was a big whiteboard on the wall where they all put their name and their telephone number in case you needed housekeeping or this or that. And it was all very, very polite.
Yeah.
But I have to say, the food was terrible.
So no Dole Whip, no turkey legs, no Mickey
bars.
No,
and the worst thing was, we had such nice meals booked that I'd planned, you know, a year in advance, that we were going to celebrate this big achievement of finishing the marathon. Some of the meals were so bad that, because obviously it's America, they have very much a different outlook, shall we say. So in, you know, UK hospitals, they give you sort of a wristband so they know who you are.
Yeah.
In America, it's got a barcode on it that they can scan every time they give you anything. So add it to the bill.
While you're on the checkout.
Absolutely. So every time they brought you food, there was a little printout of what you'd had so that they could bill it. And sometimes that was the only way I could identify what it was supposed to be.
Wow. And I'm guessing as soon as you got in, they wanted to know where your travel insurance was, didn't they?
Oh yes. And suddenly, as soon as the travel insurance came through to the hospital and all got sorted, they released me rather quickly. I did get the impression they put on an extra drip. Then they go, oh yeah, I think we should just get some extra fluid in you before you go. I'm thinking, yeah, you're just hanging fire till that fax comes through, aren't you?
Yeah. And then off out you go. So were you then back in the parks like the day after?
Yes.
Or did you have to take it easy straight in the park?
Well, straight in the park. I mean, they said, you know, I was sort of sensitive to the temperature, so we went to Animal Kingdom that day and it was heaving. I've never seen anything like it, the people. And it was quite warm that day, so I did have to do a lot of sitting down and having an ice cream. But if these things you've got to do, these are the things you've got to do.
Yeah, you've got to have the ice cream. But it does get very busy when they've got the Run Disney events on. They say those weekends, even if you're not doing the marathons, it's still a very busy time to go.
Yes, well, because I'm a slow runner, I'm a back of the pack runner, so I'm there literally taking the full allotted time to do it. So the parks are open and you're running through it, and you can see that they sort of cordon off some of the route so that the, you know, the runners can run, and then the park guests have to be sort of ushered around around the runners, and there's like crossing points so you can get from one side of the, you know, the road to the other, and all sorts going on. Yeah. So it's a feat. It's very well managed, I'll give him that.
I'd love to find out more actually about where the run goes, so we'll chat some more in a moment, Leanne. Got a quick Disney Plus recommendation for you now from Jamie Mitchum, who sent me a message on Facebook. Thank you very much, Jamie Mitchum. Now, we might be in June, but Jamie's suggestion for Disney Plus is Holiday Magic Decorating Disney with Whoopi Goldberg. It's behind the scenes of how they put all the decorations up for Christmas, not just at Walt Disney World, but at Disneyland. You see how overnight they transform it from Halloween with all the pumpkins to Christmas, literally in a matter of hours. You also find out more details about how they do the Gingerbread House at the Grand Floridian, and over in Disneyland, how they completely transform the Haunted Mansion into a Nightmare Before Christmas. Thank you very much for that suggestion. If you have found anything yourself on Disney Plus, then let me know. If it's something Christmassy, that's fine. If it's something that reminds you of the parks, or a documentary about the parks, or something filmed in the parks, anything that we might not know about that you spotted on Disney Plus, just let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest like Leanne this week, then that's the same place to go. So we're talking about the Run Disney events over in Orlando. You did them. I'd love to know where they go. Did you go properly behind the scenes of the parks then?
You laugh at this because we stayed at Port Orleans. So you catch a bus to Epcot. So you start in the car park. And then for the marathon, you go sort of all the way through and around Epcot. Then you sort of cut around sort of the backstage area and back through to the transportation centre, around sort of the lakes. Then you run off onto the highways and you go up to Animal Kingdom. So you run up to Animal Kingdom from there, all around Animal Kingdom, stop off and ride Everest if you want to.
What, really? They let you do that?
They do, yeah.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah, they do. This is the whole fun of the Run Disney events. If you can time it right, if you're quick enough, or, you know, your timings are good, so you can do it, you jump in the queue and you get on there.
In your running vest?
Oh, yes. I wouldn't like to be the other people in the car with you, because at that point, you're probably a bit sweaty, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah, you get the sweat flying back.
So, yeah.
And do you have to raise a certain amount of money to be able to do these?
No, I didn't. I just did a fundraiser, so I just got sponsored. Right. There are different organisations that will get you sort of the bib entries, and you can run for them, and they will have their own sort of limits depending on who they are and how many paces they've got. So,
and how much is it to enter?
It wasn't cheap. I think it worked out for the Dopey Challenge. It was something like £600 each.
Yeah, I thought it was a few hundred pounds.
Yeah, it's not cheap. No, not at all.
On top of your normal holiday as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about your favourite things at Walt Disney World then. Including food. Let's get to food, because I want to find out, actually. You said after you'd done the 10K, you thought you ate something dodgy. Where did you eat?
Well, I don't think it was dodgy. I think it was just that it was sort of manifesting, shall we say.
Right, okay,
but
yeah.
We'd had lunch that day in Tony's in Magic Kingdom, and it didn't taste bad. It was just, I had a lasagna and I could really taste the herbs. That sounds silly.
It's quite heavy food in Tony's, isn't it, with it
yes,
being Italian?
Yeah.
Big portions, big pasta,
yes.
Heat. I can see why.
We were doing the whole carb loading thing, so there were quite a few Italians before the run's finished.
A well-planned restaurant to go with carb loading, but maybe not a good idea. So where are your favourite places to eat then?
I was really impressed, actually, because there wasn't a bad place, I have to say. Every meal we had was amazing, because we had the free dining plan, and because I'm a bit of a foodie, I upgraded to the table service version, yeah. And I loved it. Everything was fabulous. So I think in terms of the food, I really liked Restaurant Marrakesh, just because it was different.
Over at Epcot?
Yeah. So it was just...
So what did you eat
it
there?
It was really tasty. We had tagine, basically. So I think it was chicken and lamb. So it was a bit of everything. So just spices, and it was just really flavourful.
Is that the one kind of at the back of the pavilion?
Yes, you've got to go all the way through all these little winding streets, and you've got to know what you're looking for. You wouldn't find it by chance.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to many people who've actually eaten there, but that's one of your favourites.
It was just really nice food. It was something different, not what I was expecting from a theme park.
Favourite attractions? You got a favourite attraction?
We're not really big ride people, so I'm a bit of a wimp, so I don't do all the big roller coasters.
It can be a parade or fireworks. It can be anything.
So for the rides, I think it would have been Test Track, just because that was really good fun, and I wasn't expecting it to go quite so fast, but it was like, oh, wow, this is good.
And you know exactly how fast it goes as well, because it tells you over the top towards
yes,
the end.
Yes, exactly. But we had an experience on that, because we booked the fast pass and sort of got on, and we were sort of just getting started, and they're doing the whole spiel about it being, you know, it is a test for cars, so you've got to design it for speed and for braking and all the rest of it. And as we were sort of going around one corner, it sort of did this great big sort of juddery motion. It was like being on Dinosaur. It was very rough, and we're thinking, oh, is this part of it, or what's going on? And then it promptly broke down.
So where were you stuck, and how long for?
We weren't stuck for very long. We literally, it was like a minute into the ride, so it hadn't started very far, and they basically said, stay in your cars and we will come and, you know, escort you. So we got rescued. So we had a walking tour of Test Track, because the cast members came to each car in turn and sort of picked up the occupants, and we all had to follow them in a big sort of conga line then out through the escape entrance. So we got taken sort of through the backstage bowels of Test Track. And,
wow.
And
you've kind of seen more of backstage at Walt Disney than you've actually seen, like, from the
theme park.
See more behind the scenes than anything else.
It's a bit of everything. But they were really good about that, because it had broken down. They gave us sort of I'm not sure what they're called, but one of the use any time fast passes.
Yeah.
So, and it was just so well organized, because as you're literally, you're walking, they take you sort of out through the big the ride itself, and then, as I say, they take you out, so you go through the guest shop and the gift shop to finish. But as you go into the shop, they're there with their wands, and they're straight away just, you know, put it on your band, there you go, there's your fast pass, you can come out back whenever. It's very well done.
And where did you stay on your last trip?
We stayed in Port Orleans French Quarter.
Oh, so you did say, yeah.
Yeah. It was lovely, just because it wasn't too big. I mean, that's a crazy thing to say, because they're all huge, but it wasn't sort of on the scale of, you know, big tower blocks like Art of Animation or the All Stars. So it just felt a bit cozier.
Yeah, you're never very far from anything, are you, at
that
French Quarter?
That was it. It was nice.
Food, so you court, could just, buses.
Yeah. Everything was right there, which was really good, because we did quite use the resort mugs quite a lot. I kept sending my other half down to go and get us a cup of hot chocolate to go to bed with.
That's the good thing about resort mugs when you're near the quick service food, because, you know, you can get the resort mugs, but if your room's miles away, you kind of don't want to take it and then carry it around with you. You want to be near so you can just keep going getting a refill.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so it was good for that. So everything was on hand, and it was just, it was pretty and had a nice feel. And I really loved on the bus, when you got the bus back from one of the parks, you'd have your sort of theme track going as you're on the bus. And as you got to the gate, entering into the hotel, the track just said, "Welcome home." And I thought, oh, yes, I'm home. Cute. This is where I should be.
Have you got any tips when it comes to planning, maybe for anything for Run Disney, or you would advise people to do? Any tips?
For the running, the only thing, and I think it probably works for Rope Drop as well, I would advise everyone to stay on British time when they get there.
Right.
If you can, because the runs, especially, are before the park opens, or they start before the park opens. So the runs all start at 5:30 a.m.
Wow.
So they recommend you getting there as early as possible, and we did, because we didn't want to rely too much on the transport and any problems. So we were on the bus by 3:30.
A.M.
Yeah, to get out and run. So we left our watches on British time. So then you're catching the bus at more like 8:30. So it didn't feel so bad, because we early starters anyway. We're up at sort of 6:30 for work normally. So we're not so terrified of early mornings, but it did help.
I suppose if you do the Run Disney events towards the beginning of your holiday, I suppose that makes it easier.
Yes, that's what we did, just because then you could focus on getting them done, enjoying them, and then enjoying the holiday part afterwards.
And did you go venture outside Disney, or did you just prefer to just stay on property, apart from the trip to the
apart from Celebration? Yeah. We did actually combine I'm gonna say unfortunate words, Universal, because we'd never been to Florida before. So we moved actually to a hotel. We swapped hotels for the end of the holiday, so we had 4 nights in on International Drive, and then we had 3 days in Universal there. So that was good.
That makes sense, doesn't it, because you can then wait to your holiday to Universal just by, well, you can walk really, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, they did a shuttle bus, so we just jumped on that. It wasn't the same as Disney transport, because there's sort of 1 hour or something, and you've got to get the right time and the right spot and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it worked, so it was good, and it made more sense to be sort of closer to it, so moving the hotel. But it really showed the difference between Disney and Universal, I have to say. Just the whole encapsulation and feeling of being on site in Disney on property was incredible. And the hotel, you know, on International Drive was absolutely fine, no problems. And Universal was fine. But there was they very much, the staff at Universal were staff. You could tell they didn't want to be there. Whereas, you know, Disney cast do enjoy being there, and even if they don't, they pretend they do.
Are you planning on going back soon? I'm guessing with the current situation we've got in the world, maybe not yet, but maybe
not quite immediately because of that. No, but we are planning. This is going to be really sad. 2023.
Nothing wrong with that.
For the Dopey Challenge that year, because it's actually an anniversary year.
So you're going to do the Dopey Challenge again?
I've got getting a medal this time. Business with that dwarf. Yes.
Unfinished business. Got a Dopey Challenge. We are ready to take you on.
Absolutely.
Don't eat anything that I wouldn't. And Leanne, have a magical day.
Thank you. You too. See you real soon.
If you'd love to be a podcast guest, just get in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can private message me if you want. We are at Pod Magical is where to follow all our social media accounts. We're ending the podcast as we do every week with a top tip of the week. I'm going to try and do some money-saving tips on food over the next few weeks. Obviously, a lot of people plan with the free dining. That's been taken away now. But if you want to go, you've got to rearrange your budgets. Suddenly, you've got to pay out of pocket. You might not be able to purchase the dining plan. What can you do to still eat and save money? Obviously, taking your own snacks is one obvious idea. But what about this? Okay, if you want to do a character buffet, you're on the dining plan. This is what I used to do. You know, you're there for 14 nights. You do like 3 or 4 character buffets, especially the Fantasmic ones where you get the reserved seating and stuff like that. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. You know, the price of paying that is just ridiculous. It's a lot of money. But if you still want to do a character buffet, I would always look for breakfast, because breakfast is always cheaper. So find the characters you love, book in for breakfast, and maybe, this is always a great tip, we have mentioned this before on the podcast, book towards the end of that breakfast window. So for example, if breakfast goes from 7 to 11 and then lunch goes from 11 till 3 in the afternoon, obviously the price of lunch is more expensive. But if you go at like 10:45, you are paying the breakfast price, drag it out. Track it out. Let them start bringing the stuff out for lunchtime. Let them bring out, you know, the cuts of beef and stuff like that. So you can maybe make it a bit of a brunch. So book in at a breakfast price as late as you can if you want to do a Disney character breakfast buffet. In fact, I don't even know. There's only one character meal that's going to be open when Walt Disney World reopens, and that's Topolino's Terrace, which isn't even a buffet. It's just a very expensive breakfast, like $42. But eventually next year, I'm assuming the character breakfast buffets and things are going to reopen. So booking for breakfast if you are going to have to start paying out of pocket. And obviously, when we're on the dining plan, I used to have a mojito for breakfast because the alcoholic beverage was included. Well, not anymore. I'll book in for breakfast. I will have the pog juice and the teas and coffees, and I'll leave it at that. So if you've got a budget, you've got to bring these things down. There's a little thing for you. Just do one character buffet, make it breakfast, keep it cheap, book towards the end of breakfast when you can go for lunchtime. If you've got any top tips on saving money on food, particularly at Walt Disney World, do get in touch. We'll get some more on next week. Don't forget, we've got a brand new podcast every Friday. New tips every week, a new guest every week with new stories. If you want to be a guest, give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, be it Spotify, be it Apple Podcast. Next week is our first birthday. Can you believe we've been doing this podcast every week for an entire year? Over 50 different guests. Got some great guests next week, by the way, who you've probably seen if you've spent the last few months just sitting at home going through YouTubes of everybody else's trip. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Brand new podcast with a very special guest next week. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.